Definitely this show you're talking about today. It's going to be a very active one. We just know it because it was suggested by one of our loyal listeners, Bernadette. And Jerry, we're going to dive right in. It's when you are called to be a caregiver. Now what? Wow, you know, you've got to step up and do something that you maybe are not trained for, you're not ready for, and you're called to be a caregiver for that loved one, that friend, and all of a sudden you say, well, how do I do this? What do I do? This is what we're asking today on Take Two. And Jerry, this could really help a lot of caregivers' lives today, this discussion that's going to happen right now.
Well, it's almost certainly going to happen for most of us, not all of us, but a good percentage, high percentage of us will find ourselves in a caregiver situation, at least to some degree, maybe not a full, you know, full-time 24/7 caregiver for a loved one or a friend or a family member, but in some regard, at some level. So if you have had this experience, maybe you are a caregiver for someone right now, maybe you anticipate that you're going to be, maybe someone is a caregiver for you and you want to talk about how beautiful that is to have that person and serving you in that capacity. Our phone number is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
You're put into that caregiver role. Now what? That's what we're asking today. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. Matt Kabinsky's waiting to answer your calls. Michael McCall's on social media. Jerry, please wave to everybody. Everybody's starting with the chats. Charles Beery is our wonderful producer on the controls. But Bernadette suggested this topic, and I think we should definitely revisit it many times, which we have in the past, Jerry. As you know, we've had Michelle Johnson, director of communications for EWTN, wrote this amazing book about caregiving with, and it's her whole story with her husband, Stu. And Stu had 3 bouts of cancer, and Michelle felt that this book was very much needed. We all felt that way. We've had Michelle on, and you can pick up this book, folks, at EWTNRC.com. It's Walking the Way of the Cross for Caregivers, How to Cope. Now listen to this, how to cope practically, emotionally, and spiritually when your loved one is seriously ill. See, and that's the key, and I think that's what we should tap into today, Jerry, is how does a caregiver, you know, because they say, Jerry, that people who go into caregiving roles, you know, they're taking care of their loved one, and if their loved one passes, you know, now they've got to take care of themselves, but they have let themselves go for so many years, now they get sick, or the caregiver dies before the one they are caring for. So this is a really complicated situation and something that is not addressed very often. We are addressing it here. So please call us, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Now, keep in mind that we certainly would welcome calls and lived experiences from those who are maybe kind of on a professional level caregivers. Maybe you do that for a living, but definitely we're looking for those of you who, while not being, you know, that's not your line of work per se, but maybe because of an illness of a loved one, you have found yourself in that position. If you want to share your experience, please call and do that right now, because as we say, we should say it every day. Hopefully we say it often enough. What you share on this program is going to touch a lot of lives and might even turn some lives and some souls around. So share your lived experience about caregiving at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And we already have social media comments coming in. So Ellen and the others, we will definitely add your comments in. We want to get all of those phone lines lit up because we do like to have a very robust discussion. Again, this is your show. This is your platform. This is where we help one another. We build up the body of Christ through our lived experiences. I was thrown into the caregiving role in 2009, Jerry, with my dad, and then again with my mom for 11 years. Marty's now has been in a caregiver role for me for the past 5 years. So we're kind of trading it all around the Giorgiani household. And I know you've been in a caregiving role, Jerry. It's a tough situation when you're trying to work, you're trying to do other things. You're also a caregiver. You're maybe you don't have a nursing degree or a medical background, and you're thinking, what do I do? Who do I turn to? You know, I have no one to talk to. No one understands what I'm going through, and I'm sleep deprived. I mean, all those things happen, and then it starts to wear on you. And then you feel guilty. You feel guilty like maybe you're not showing up as the best caregiver. See, we've been there, folks. We know what this is like. So let's talk about it and help others today. 833-288-EWTN.
Yeah, there are a ton of different emotions you can cycle through, and it's not wrong to even talk about things like resentment. Maybe maybe you get to a point where you're like, I just being relied upon so very, very much here. I don't have time for myself, like Debbie said. Can't take care of myself. Resentment could start to creep in there. What about, if you were a caregiver and you did your very, very best, and then when your loved one passed away, maybe you had at least a little bit of a sense of relief that they were with the Lord and that you were relieved of that responsibility. I mean, that kind of an emotion could get in there as well, and you might feel guilty about that.
And then
that.
You felt guilty, yeah.
Yeah, you could feel guilty about just natural human emotions. So a lot of calls coming in right now. If you want that last open phone line or two, get on board at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
You're thrown into a caregiving role. Now what? That's what we're talking about today. Bernadette suggested this topic. We can already see it's going to be a very, very active show today. It's going to resonate with a lot of people, so please don't sit this out. And maybe you are a caregiver right now and you're just exhausted and you do need to just take this hour in and everything that's going to be shared. Please do that. Know that we're praying for you. I actually, at the top of the prayer book, I know tomorrow is our prayer intention show, but I put at the top of the prayer book for all caregivers, Jerry.
Beautiful.
So just know that, just sit back and absorb and see if you can feel better about the situation you're in, and know that you're not alone. Okay, you're not alone. 833-288-3986. That's why Michelle wrote the book about her husband, Stu. She wrote the book because she said, I was doing this with my husband, and it was going on for so many years. I learned so many things, and so many people, don't have this kind of information, don't have this understanding of things, and they don't know where to turn. And that's why her book's so popular, Jerry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the spiritual graces and the blessings that come into a situation where you are being a caregiver for someone. If you are in that position, we've mentioned a lot of the human things that happen on a human level. But if you want to talk about what a beautiful grace and blessing it was, because maybe if you weren't there, nobody would have been there for your loved one. So maybe God really has poured His graces and blessings out upon you during that time of caregiving, and then subsequent to that as well. So we can take this in whatever direction you want to go. I'm called to be a caregiver. Now what? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
You are now a caregiver. Oh, wow. Now what do you do? How do you cope? How do you make it through? How do you survive? Who do you turn to? Do you have support? See, we've all been there. Let's talk about it. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. I just want to share with our listeners, Jerry, if you have the TuneIn app, you can listen to the EWTN radio live stream. Go to TuneIn and search EWTN. That's how simple it is, and I love it. And you can always catch all your favorite shows.
Very good. Okay, we got several on the line. There is an open phone line, so you will get through. If you're the fastest dialer, you'll get right in right now. We do have, of course, a queue, a waiting area, so you'll get through one way or the other right now at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986, talking about caregiving, your experience with it, and how that was a blessing, how that was a burden, how it was a responsibility, how it was a grace. A lot of ways we can look at this, Debbie. So I think looking forward to hearing what our listeners have to say.
Absolutely. So let's go to Linda first. Linda's in Louisiana on EWTN.com. Linda, thank you. Thank you for being first up here on Take Two. Take it away. Hello, Linda.
Linda, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Yes,
yep,
you are on.
Okay. Okay. I'm not Catholic, but I listen to your radio station religiously.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you.
My siblings and I was thrown into the position to care for my mother. She's 91 years old. And through that, I learned that I fell into a pool of grace. Because from dealing with the administrative stuff, the doctor stuff, and just her emotional state, I was given grace to understand from the insurance to the doctor's rhetoric, the double talk. They're not promoting life. They're trying to decide to end her life. And does that make sense?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Keep going, Linda.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's like it came across like sympathy, but I learned kind of like through listening to EWTN, this is not continuing her life talk. This is ending her life talk. And you're going through the emotional state of it all. It can be quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
And that's what I just wanted to say and share with your listeners. And the grace of just God illuminating when you pray and you say, God, I don't really understand this. And then you turn on and listen to EWTN during that day. All of a sudden, you hear a conversation like this.
Wow, Linda.
And you just have to stop and you just have to listen.
Yeah, yeah.
And no religious denomination come in the fact and said, thank you, God, for giving me that information. Now I step back into the meeting with the doctors or the insurance company or the government and say, okay, this will happen. Mm-hmm. And stand on the word. And it's really good. And it does help people to know. And I plan on getting this book and reading this book because we're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And praise God, she turned 91 on June 22nd.
Oh, bless
her heart. Can we? Do you feel comfortable giving us your mom's first name, Linda?
Her first name is Effie, a good Southern name, E-F-F-I-E.
Beautiful. Linda, I just want to say first, thank you for being part of the Take-Two family. We just think you have a precious heart. I hope you don't mind, but Jerry and I both tapped into when you said pool of grace. We both loved it very much. That's absolutely an extraordinary phrase. And so thank you so much for sharing it with all of us on Take-Two. I also wanted to just say, Linda, that one of the things that I noticed being in a caregiving role for a combined total of almost, 14 years, I agree with you. The grace is abundant, and also the understanding and the wisdom and the knowledge and the spiritual growth and everything you can learn, even though it's very draining and it can be very taxing in so many ways and bring you down even physically and mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it builds you up in so many other ways to understand, and to really feel that all of heaven is very close to you during this time. And I think that's where that pool of grace comes from, because I just feel like when we are put in that role with our loved ones and the people and we're being asked to care for them and to help them through the next chapters of their life, heaven is very, very close to us. And it sounds like it's that way for you, Linda. I just wanted to share that. But Jerry, I know Jerry probably has some more profound statements to make.
No, I'm just wondering, Linda, what you thought of what Debbie shared there.
Oh, I thought it was very profound, and I find it to be very, very true. That I've grown a lot in my spiritual walk.
Mm-hmm. Well, and praise God, Linda. And, you pointed something out very important, not to be, self-congratulatory here as a network, but, EWTN Catholic Radio, you mentioned how so much of the talk and the conversation regarding your mother and the care that you're giving her, and so many people want to lead you down a path of ending her life versus, you hear conversations of a pro-life nature, and that life is valuable and inherently dignified at any stage, no matter what, on Catholic Radio. So I think that's just a very important point to highlight right there, because we need to have the voice of God heard in today's world. I call it at the media table. We need to keep our place at the media table, and so Linda, I'm just really deeply grateful, as Debbie is, that you called in today. Anything else you wanted to add before we let you go?
No, I appreciate your program. I appreciate you being there, and I pray every day for you.
Oh, thank you. We cherish your prayers, Linda,
yes.
Believe me.
Thank you, Linda. Keep in touch with us, okay? Thank you.
I sure will.
Oh, good.
Have a blessed day.
Yeah, that was a great call.
Yes, beautiful.
Fabulous call. So Linda's going to free that phone line for somebody to pick it up on caregiving. And I am getting some messages, Jerry, just to make sure that we get Michelle's book out there again. I just love this book. You can get it at EWTNRC.com. Walking the Way of the Cross for Caregivers, How to Cope Practically, Emotionally, and Spiritually When Your Loved One is Seriously Ill by Michelle Johnson.
Okay, social media, Timoteo, watching as he frequently does on YouTube, says, my siblings and I became caregivers at a young age. Mm-hmm. And Ellen, watching on Facebook, says, I am commenting about taking care of a family member in need and providing for their needs. Be a source of comfort and provide an atmosphere of love, respect, and promote their well-being. Also, surround them with an abundance of love. And that's from mm-hmm. Ellen, watching today on Facebook.
Beautiful. Thanks, you guys. We're waving to you. Okay, somebody can pick up that one open phone line, 833-288-3986. We'll go back to the phones. Mark is waiting patiently, Jerry, in Dearborn, Michigan, on the EWTN app. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Jerry and Deb.
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm doing well. I just got off the revival of... And I know there were 60,000 people there, but I'm wondering why there weren't 600,000 or 6 million. And to inspire everybody, put 50 cents in a jar until 2033 and you'll be able to go.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you
go. I'm already planning it. I can't wait. I can't wait till they announce where it's going to be. Mark, if I'm still living, I'm going to be there.
Well, I was hoping to run into you guys this time. But anyways, God, it was a wonderful experience. I was... My last revelation was, God, what must it have been like to walk with Jesus when he was living for 5 days? And I thought, I just did.
Yeah, you did. Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. That was powerful.
Great, great insight.
Mm-hmm.
The backdrop of my caretaking, I took care of my mom and dad. They're now 88 and 91 for 5 years. And I come from a very dysfunctional home where only time I received love was when mom put food on the table. And I was a little down and out and inspired to go take care of them. And it kind of fit for a while, but it was not easy. And somewhere along the line, I just started practicing my Catholic faith, and I learned to start taking care of myself first thing in the morning with prayer and meditation, daily mass, exercise, eat a good meal, and get ready for whatever was going to come at me because I didn't know what. And then sit and wait for the streetlights to come on to start the next day. And I did it for 5 years, and it didn't end well.
Wow, Mark. Well, God bless you first and foremost for doing that. And I know that you know, you mentioned several things. You mentioned the dysfunction of your family and your last comment there that things did not end well. But I do want to tell you, and you know this because you did it, and that is you laid the foundation every day, you know, every morning. And this goes to, see, you're giving a lesson, Mark, to anybody else who's listening right now who may not lay that spiritual, prayerful foundation in place first. If that is there, then I think God will give the grace to anyone who is going through a caregiving situation to deal with whatever comes along from whatever context the family is coming out of or what have you. So, Debbie, Mark did the most important thing right there, I think, through that prayer and meditation in the mm-hmm. morning.
Oh, I agree. You have to keep yourself spiritually grounded and in your routine as you're going through this. But one thing that I just want to tap into, Mark, you know, you made the comment about dysfunctional families. I think, you know, if we really look at all our families, we can find some kind of dysfunction in our families growing up, because no family is really perfect. I mean, I've never really met a perfect family. I'd love to meet one, but I've never really met one. And so what you did, though, was so honoring of your parents to step up, because a lot of adult children would have found every excuse possible. They would have justified it, figured out a way to get out of it, or just do the bare minimum. But you stepped up, like you said, for 5 years. And I know you didn't do it for this reason, but I just want people to hear this. I truly believe that God blesses those children that step up for their parents and grandparents. And I know it's tough, but when we can do that, even if we're not equipped or capable or able, and we feel like, you know, we're all alone in this, if we try our best to do whatever we can, I think God blesses that and honors that. So I wish that for you, Mark, because I just think more families need to hear that, because we're in a world where a lot of adult children are just saying, hey, I'm done. You know, they have money. Let them take care of themselves. You know, I've got my own life. I've got my own kids. And, you know, it's a difficult situation we're in. Any comments on that, Mark?
Yeah, well, God did bless me with the good news. He put on my heart to treat them with the unconditional love and respect that they never gave me, never will give me, and weren't able to give me. And Debbie, if we don't meet in 2033, you'll meet your perfect family in heaven when we get there.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. Father Cedric Pazania has had two near-death experiences. He's been on Take Two before. And he talks about that we get a whole new family. Jerry, did you know that? We get a whole new family.
That's exciting. That's beautiful. Yeah.
I can't wait to meet my family. Mark, you're awesome. Thank you so much for gracing this conversation.
Blessed day.
All right. God bless. Okay, we're going to go to Bernie. Bernie is in Maryland listening on the EWTN app today. Hello, Bernie. Thanks for your patience and welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hi, Bernie. Yeah, you're on the air.
Yeah. Okay, I was just listening to, I'm in the store right now, but I was in the car. I took care of my mother for the last couple of years of her life. And I'm from a large family, and it was decided I should be the one to take care of her and the year I'll pitch in, but it didn't work that way. And, you know, when she got to the point where we had to admit her to the hospital, and after she died had a very, very peaceful death. We all the family, most of the family were able to get together. But afterwards, I was so drained that I couldn't pray, I couldn't cry, and it just, you know. And I felt that it's basically everybody just said, well, you're the best one to take care of her, so we're going to bring her, have you take care of her. I mean, I'm glad in the end that I did, but it's just that it's going through the motions of having to do that. Day in day, mm-hmm. when I'm working a full-time job, it was really rough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Bernie, I can totally relate. Absolutely. I come from a large family, and I was thrown into the caregiving role when I was in the middle of my own crisis myself. I mean, I was going through a divorce, and it was horrible. My family felt that I was the best one to do it as well. And so I did my very best, and it took a lot out of me, so much so that that's why I've been fighting a second bout of cancer for 5 years. It's been a lot. But Bernie, you know, the body is a beautiful thing that God created, and it's time for you to take care of you. And I mean that in a self-preservation mode, not in a selfish mode, but I just want you to now focus on you. I put you in the prayer book, and I'm going to be praying that every person around you, every encounter you have, everything you do is to fill you back up and to help you, because you did what you needed to do and you stepped into that role. Now it's time for Bernie. What do you say, Bernie?
Okay, I agree.
Okay, good, because you're in the book. I'm going to be praying for you.
Please don't stop. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Bernie, for the call. Talking about caregiving today, you've become a caregiver, now what? If you have an experience to share, you'll be helping a lot of other people. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And Bernie made a good point, and I mean, you kind of echoed it. You know, coming from large families, you would think that there would be ample help, you know. And I have a dear, dear friend who's a priest, and because of his own health reasons, he's sort of semi-retired. Well, mm-hmm. he's living with his mother and caring for her, and he has siblings in the area. He can't be out and active in parishes and in ministry, mm-hmm, because, mm-hmm. like I said, he's got some health issues that he's dealing with, but they don't keep him from being in a parish and serving. And like I said, he's got some siblings who live right in that same general area, and they just don't have time. And to me, it breaks my heart, you know, mm-hmm. for my priest friends. So, you know, and everybody's got their life to live. You know, I'm not saying anybody out there, if you're in that situation, you know, you've got to drop everything you're doing and go take care of a loved one or something. But we just need to be realistic about this, and everybody chip in as best you can. Mm-hmm. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Mary, Marnie, Chris, and the others, we're going to you, so stay tuned. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you, and congratulations going out to another member of the EWTN radio family, KFUZ. It's 103.3 in Clarkston, Washington, celebrating 9 great years with EWTN's faithful Catholic programming. So congratulations to John Vasari and his great team at Clarkston Catholic Radio from all of your friends here at EWTN. Way to go.
Yeah, way to go. I always look at how many years they've been broadcasting. Now think about that, Jerry. 9 years. How many souls have been touched by Catholic radio? I mean, this is huge, big work, folks. That's why we got to get behind Catholic media and really let it thrive into the future. That's what I say anyway. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, our people, as you know, regular listeners, our show has been on the air just a little over 9 years. So I was going to say, John Vasari and his team at Clarkston Catholic Radio loved our show so much they put a station on the air 9 years ago.
That's right. Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys.
Okay, we're going to go back. You got to keep a sense of humor. That's the other thing. Can I weave that in real quickly? When you're in a caregiving role, please keep a sense of humor. You have to. If you take it too seriously, I'm telling you, it can wear you down very quickly. I know. So let's go to Mary, Jerry in Wyoming on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi there. How are you today?
We're great, Mary. So glad that you called.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Well, there's a couple of points about being a caretaker that I would like to make. One is self-care and how that can literally, you know, hit the curb when you're taking care of other people, finding the time and the strength and the energy just for self-care, whether it be taking a hot bubble bath or finding time to just step away and go for a walk, not letting your own grocery supply go down so that when you're so busy caring for everybody else, you sit down and say, what's there for dinner? And the refrigerator is literally empty, not because you don't have the money to buy the food. You just haven't had the time to go do that and do your own meal planning. Mm-hmm. And when there's no self-care, if you can't take care of yourself first, it's very, very arduous to take care of other people. And the other thing, because I'm involved with the care of two relatives, two older men in my world, estate planning is so very, very important.
Oh, yeah.
When you're looking to be the caregiver, because in my case, the full-time care is a spouse who has been an alcoholic for decades, and now he has everything under the sun wrong with him, and the estate planning was done in the early years of the marriage. However, people don't understand the difference between a will and a trust. Mm-hmm. And based on states, like for example, in my state, you need a 3-year window on a will. You need a 7-year window on a trust. So that if you're going to move money out of your name into your kids so that your children are left with something and the extended care doesn't take every dime you have, that needs to really be looked at very, very soon. And you need to get a lawyer and lawyer up and find out exactly what your state laws are. But in my case, it's a spouse, and he's checked out, 6 children, and I do the full-time care of him mainly because my kids can't. My kids have lives and jobs and children. They're in a lot of different locations around the country, and there'd be absolutely no way they could take this on. Secondly, I wouldn't want them to because he's so belligerent at times. And then also, I do it because if I were to ever put him in a nursing home, they'll take everything we have, and we're not at end of life yet. We're more middle-aged, and well, I think we're middle-aged, but then my father, who's sick and lives with a sibling with disability, and there are 4 other siblings who could be helping with this, you know, they just, I think, rely on me, and this is a father, my mother's deceased, but these are parents who disowned me over 30 years ago, cut me completely out of the family estate and assets, and now here he is end of life, and guess who gets the phone calls, and guess who sits on the phone all day dealing with the doctors and the appointments and when something's needed, hey, could you go do this? Could you go do that? And I do. I do do it. Mm-hmm. I believe that no matter what happened in my life with family, I still have a moral obligation to help. However, two older men in two separate locations, so, you know, an hour apart over the road, going back and forth over the road, I sit down at the end of the day and I'm sometimes too tired to take my clothes off, much less, you know, get in the bath and take care of me. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like everybody needs something of their own. And I'm having a very hard time finding the time to just sit and knit or, you know, whatever I'd mm-hmm. like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but also I really wanted to put it out there for the people, take a look at your assets. The nursing homes are not getting any cheaper. And if you're a veteran, that's a very big problem because the federal government did not plan for the baby boomers. And now mm-hmm. the baby boomer veterans who are getting older, sick, and dying, there's not enough room in those VA hospitals where they have the extended care and the hospice. There are waiting lists literally all over the country.
Right.
So if you have the money to use extended care of some kind, believe me, the powers that be will take every dime. If you stay home with your loved one and you don't use the professional help, then the whole situation will literally suck the air right out of your lungs. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the solution is. I think I would like to see more church involvement for families because maybe there'd be something where, you know, several nights a week, the church ladies could bring in a casserole just to give you a break, you know, that sort of thing. But those were just the two points that I wanted to touch on. It was tough enough living with an alcoholic for, you know, 35 years. But the other thing with a parent, I did not have the care of my mother, but I went back again and again and again to see her mm-hmm. before she died. And literally the day before she died, she looked at me and she said, you know, I never did like you. And I thought, well, yeah, she got that. You got that right. Boy, you sure got that right, babe. But yet I was with her when she died. And mm-hmm. and then I walk out and mm-hmm. it literally takes a piece of your soul. It takes.
Right.
When people say, oh, there's all this grace and blessing, I'm sorry, I'm not there yet.
Right, but Mary, let's let Jerry comment, and then I have some things to say, because everything you're touching upon, you're a spot on, and we need to hear it, and we need to get prepared with, like you said, accountants and lawyers and all type of planners to help with all of these things. You're spot on, so let's hear what Jerry has to say.
Well, I just, Mary, first of all, our hearts go out to you. And, you know, the thing that you really struck me the most that you, as you were talking, I've not been through what you described, but you were painting such a beautiful visual image of it that I was able to actually enter into that kind of a scene myself and feel your exhaustion. And you're just, like you said, some days you're too tired to even take your clothes off. Heroic virtue is what came to my mind, Mary. You are practicing heroic virtue in the face of ingratitude. And I was reminded of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. Remember, only one of them came back to thank him. Jesus says, where are the other nine? You know, and so you are being so Christ-like right now. And I don't know if those words will offer any consolation to you in the midst of what you're going through. But from my perspective, and I think Debbie's perspective as well, we see that, Mary. We mm-hmm. see the Christ-like way you're approaching this, and you're absorbing the blows of the ingratitude and still pressing on. Mary, you are an absolute inspiration to me. Debbie, mm-hmm. I don't know if you...
I feel the same way. Everything that Jerry said, Mary, I completely agree with that. We have to go quickly because other folks are waiting as well as you had waited so long. But Mary, I want to share this with you. Please, Mary, as a sister in Christ, listen to me, please. There's such a thing as called stolen moments. You have to have those tiny little moments where you can refresh and recharge and feel like you can keep coping. Just, and they're tiny little moments. They can be 2 minutes in a restroom. They can be, you know, 3 minutes in a car. They can be anywhere where you're alone, where you can just, you know, say a couple prayers, relax, maybe pick up a podcast for 5 minutes, or knit for a little bit, or read something, or do something just to let yourself keep going. If you stay in the caregiving mode, load round the clock, morning, noon, and night. It's going to wear you down. Mary, you don't want to end up the way I ended up. Please, I'm begging you. You have six children. I have two children, so you have six. Okay, you got to be there for your kids. So I'm going to pray that you practice this idea of little stolen moments all day long to help you get through this. And we're with you in prayer, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, absolutely.
You're welcome, Mary. I know the entire Take Two family is already lifting Mary up in prayer and all of those who are calling in today.
Yep.
As we talk about caregiving and your experience of it on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Chris is in Southern California listening on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Chris. Thanks for your patience. Glad to have you with us.
Hi, hello. Happy Wednesday.
Thank you. Same to
you. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm 39. I'm a mother of two. I have a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old. I'm the only child. So it's a little different for me because I'm the chosen one. There's nobody else. My dad's 72. My mom's turning 70. Back in March, he fell. He had a heart attack. Diabetic with edema. So he got a large cut. Well, it was a small cut. Now it's a big one. He still has that wound. He had sepsis. Two trips in the hospital. He stayed at a couple skilled nursing facilities. Both my mom and I, even though we're Filipino, we're not nurses. We work in healthcare, but admin. I really quick had to learn how to give him his insulin, change his wound dressings every day with my mom, and still take care of my kids. I was also recently... became a catechist, teaching First Holy Communion and mm-hmm. serving in my Eucharistic ministry.
Good.
Still doing all of that despite needing to be at home with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I work mostly remote for the hospital that I work at, but just sticking with our Catholic faith, try to go to daily mass, morning offering prayers, pray the rosary, mm-hmm. pray with my family. By the grace of God, my mom right. went to confession for the first time in many decades.
Oh, wow.
Just trying to wow. bring my parents back into the church. Yeah.
Good, good. Well, but Chris, here's the thing. I mean, I know you're young, taking care of a young family. You know, you do have that medical background, which is great. But, yes, this is heavy. You know, you're taking care of a lot of people and you do. And I hope you were listening to what we were sharing with Mary about self-care. And by the way, Mary, if you're still listening, you wouldn't believe the prayers that are already going up to heaven from the Take Two family for you, Mary. I mean, it's amazing. I hope you feel it because you're going to have a lot of blessings from those, I believe. But Chris, here's what's interesting. It's all how you look at it. You know, I know you said you're an only child, so you're the chosen one. In a way, you're very fortunate. I will tell you that in the life coaching work that we do, oftentimes what happens is families will come to us, the sibling problems and rivalries and fights and all sorts of disturbances. I mean, it's horrible what we are seeing. So in a way, you have a clear path with your mom and you and what you can do. But so if hopefully if you get all the plans in place and then you go through all the scenarios that can possibly happen with your dad and you get it in place, hopefully you can carve out those moments for you so that you can recharge your batteries. You can stay healthy. You can have that self-care. But, you know, I have to say that you're kind of blessed in a way that you don't have to deal with other family members that could be in the way and cause issues. What do you say to that real quickly?
I agree because my mom has four other siblings, and when my grandma passed in 2015, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw what they were dealing with and still the things they talk about now, you know, yeah. years later. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
and you right, and you can take this into the classroom too when you're teaching religious education. You know, Jerry was just texting over to me how beautiful it is that you're a catechist. I agree, and you can take this information that you are living out right now into the classroom to start to prepare these young minds. It sounds like you're dealing with maybe with the youth or if it's adult formation. You can take this information into the classroom, which is very much needed right now. What do you say to that, Jerry?
No, absolutely. You've got several beautiful roles that you're playing, Chris, in your life, and you were doing a great job. I know that God is going to give you the blessings and the graces. Like you said, you've had to learn a lot of new things, and a lot of us get thrust into learning new things that we don't really know about, especially when it comes to, you know, on the medical health side of things. But bless your heart, Chris, for doing that, for stepping up both in the caregiving role and also in the catechist role. I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We're with you, Chris, and we can you give us your dad's first name? I've got the prayer book out.
Thank you. It's Leonard.
Leonard. Okay. We got your whole family there. Keep us posted, Chris, and we've got prayers. Boy, the Take Two family is on it. Mega prayers are happening today. This is awesome because this is the day before our urgent prayer intention show. But, Jerry, you have something to share.
Well, you can join us for News in Depth on Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and TV. It's a roundtable discussion series, has in-depth interviews, unapologetically examining and analyzing important issues, news, and events from an authentically Catholic perspective. And you can get EWTN News in Depth delivered to your email inbox with details of each week's show. Go to EWTN.com/in-depth and sign up today.
And we know you have a lot to say about this topic. You've been waiting a long time. We're going as fast as we possibly can. We just want to make you a little promise here. We'll revisit this topic again. And Jerry, let's get Michelle Johnson maybe to come back on, and she can share some of the coping skills and things that she learned throughout this whole process. So, folks, we're going as fast as we can. Carol in Bismarck, North Dakota, on Real Presence Radio. You're up next. Go ahead, Carol.
I just wanted to share that I've got a daughter. She is 16, and she has special needs. She has a chromosomal deletion. She is able to go to school. She has one-on-one care, but she is, my whole life is truly centered on taking care of her. And, you know, my husband tries, but I think as the mom, so much more of it is really just placed on me. So all the phone calls I get from school, the medical issues, and there are tons of them. And I definitely have my days, too, where I just wish I could just hop in the car and drive. But one thing that has really helped me a lot in this past year is I have really been trying to look at, you know, the fact that God chose us to have this daughter for a reason. And when I am needing, like, time for myself, and we do have some respite cares, people that can come in to help us from time to time. But I have found for my, when I need time for me, I have started going to Eucharistic Adoration twice a week, and I find on my really worst days how much I long to go back and to share what I'm going through with God. And so even if I can't get the Eucharistic Adoration itself, I truly try in that moment to put myself in front of God and Jesus, and I just say, help me to get through this day, through this moment. Show me your presence, and I try to offer it to God as a means of love for him, and that I'm taking on what I have been given. And I also had two parents, they have now passed away, that I helped take care of. And luckily, I did have other siblings that were able to help. But, you know, in those days, it was really hard because then not only did I have my daughter I needed to tend to, but I had a parent. And I was really, really torn between where my time should be and who needed it most. But the other thing that I have done is I try and look around. I'll try to do some daily meditations, or I will try and find one thing that really speaks to me in a day that's going to get me through. And I recently just came across a little saying that I love, and it's, a sadness that draws you closer to Jesus is better than any happiness that pulls you away from him. Mm. And that is just so powerful to me, because the sadness that I feel in the moments I wish I could have with my daughter, like my other kids who are, like, quote unquote, normal.
Right.
I know that I am coming closer to Jesus through all of that. And so I just keep thanking him for this cross, but also asking him for the strength to get through it and to fill me with what I need for each day. And I just hope that somehow in taking for other people that go through it with their parents or family members to just try. And I know sometimes it's easier said than done. But
well, Carol, you know, it's attributed to Saint Teresa of Avila. You know, Christ has no body now but yours. You know, your no hands, no feet on earth but yours. I was thinking about this. It hit me so strongly as you were talking. You are his hands, his feet in caring for your daughter. And you get that spiritual foundation. We talked about it. Cannot be left out, because prayer is to the soul what oxygen is to the body. And Carol, you've discovered that. You've discovered the key to remaining, you know, strong and vibrant and there for your daughter. And so, Debbie, it's just she's got that beautiful laying that beautiful foundation every day with the adoration and the other spiritual practices.
The words that you shared, I'm an emotional mess, so I don't have too much to say, because I'm gonna start welling up in tears here. But this is a powerful conversation, and thank you. I want to just thank you so very much, Carol, for adding to this and helping all of us to put this into perspective and to bring it into our, you know, how to focus our spiritual lives. Carol, thank you. God bless you. We put your family in the book. Marnie, we're going to try to squeeze you in. It's you're in South Carolina on Sirius XM 130. Marnie, we wanted to get you on air with us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, fine. We can. Go right ahead.
Okay. This subject is so near and dear to my heart, and I could have taken up your whole hour, but I'm going to keep it short. I know we're short on time. I was able to take care of both of my parents at home, thank you, God.
Praise God.
I had received a head injury a few years before that, and everybody kept on saying, why did this happen to you? And I said, it was God-given. I may find out, I may not. But I was, because of that, I was able to take care of my parents. If I'd been working, I wouldn't have been able to, and I'm a nurse, and I have four siblings. But I just wanted to say that in a time where it seems children aren't taking care of their parents, like in generations past, I encourage them to do it any way they can to keep their parents at home. And the blessings are incredible. And it's just paying back one tiny little bit compared to what they did for us growing up. So I was truly blessed. My siblings were truly blessed, and I hope my parents felt truly blessed. I'm sure they did.
Well, it sounds like they did, Marnie. And, you know, we've heard, you know, as evidenced by the comments of some people on this show, even today, we don't live in a Leave It to Beaver world. You know, there's not these perfect family situations and environments. But I think most of us can say, like you said, Marnie, that we got so much from our parents. And, you know, we sometimes lose track of that. We lose sight of it. We're too young to even remember those moments, you know, of them getting up in the middle of the night and changing our diapers and giving us food and just taking us, you know, just all the things parents do. And Debbie, like Marnie said, it's just a little tiny piece of giving back to them. It's an opportunity to do that.
Well, absolutely. And Marnie, you make so many good points about, you know, if family members don't think they can take on the whole caregiving role, do part of it. You know, say I'll fix the meals, or I'll answer the phone calls, or I'll clean the house, or I'll do something. But if everybody chips in, they can make it work. They really can. God provides. Marnie, you're awesome. Thank you so much for sharing today. We were so glad we got to squeeze you in. Karen and Kathy and Barbara and the others and everyone on social media, we love you guys. Yes, Valerie and everyone, send us your emails, please, at take2@ewtn.com. And Jerry, please don't forget Saint Charbel. Today is our saint of the day. I love Saint Charbel. He's very active in our lives right now. Very active.
We have daily members of the Powerhouse team. We have our Powerhouse team that we pray to at the start before we go on the air every day. And then each day we have the saint of the day, who's an honorary member of the Powerhouse team. So Saint Charbel today, please pray for us. Tomorrow, God, I need you now, right now. Urgent prayer intentions. What or whom are you praying for? And you need God to respond as quickly as possible. Join us tomorrow for that here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you.
I'm already emailing Michelle Johnson, so we'll definitely put this on the calendar for the fall and have Michelle come back as a guest to talk about caregiving. We love you guys. Have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.